This is Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality, and I am your humble host, Zainab. We are again at your service with yet brand new episode of Back to Reality. Yes, today we are going to talk about what aging teaches us. And on that note, we have in studio with us two special guests. I have with me Fatima from California and Sadiqa from the UK. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is Fatima from California, USA.
Oh, alaikum salam. Thank you for having me over. And this is Sadiqa from UK.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. A very warm welcome. Problems. Everyone has problems at one point of their life or at other point of their life. Sadiqa, starting from you, how do you face problems?
That's a very interesting question. It doesn't have one answer because different problems need different reactions.
Yeah.
So in some problems, you might be able to solve them by just speaking to someone about it.
Yeah.
But other problems require a bit more intervention, yeah, as I would say. So again, it comes down to the problem that we're facing with. And the base for everything has to be that there has to be a level of trust in Allah to help you through it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, trust is on one side, dua is on one side, supplicating to Allah on one side, but using the intellect. A lot of the times, and I say this from a very personal perspective, right? As a woman, I become very emotional. Now, I'm aware that many women, not all women, are this emotional. Some of the ways I look at problems would be a very emotional perspective, which doesn't get me in many places.
Yeah.
So it does come down to us being able to understand and rationally look at problems while hanging on to supplications.
Yeah, I agree with Sister Sadiqa. I think it really also depends on the problem, exactly how difficult or exactly what it is. But I think depending on the problem, trying to get advice from people who have more experience than us, especially scholars or like older friends or family members, and just doing du'as and trusting in Allah and asking from the Ma'sumin alayhi salam, depending on how tough the problem is, giving sadaqah. All these things help in solving problems, I think.
What is sadaqah?
Charity money.
You said giving charity helps in relieving problems. Not many people
or nazr,
might have
doing
realized.
A nazr, which is like when you give something of value and ask from Ahlul Bayt, one of the imams,
okay,
to help solve your problem. These things help too, yeah.
All right. So, you know, in one or the other way, giving charity or like giving some food to someone, you said it helps to tackle a problem. It does, definitely. Do you think we first of all need to understand what the problem is?
Definitely. That's where rationality comes in. Being able to understand the source of our problems. A lot of the times, the source lies somewhere else, but we are often trying to just tackle the secondary parts of the problem. So let's say, for example, there's a problem between a husband and a wife.
Okay.
The problem might lie in communication, right? Yeah. There's a lack of communication between the two. But we try and tackle that problem at hand. So let's say, this is an example. Husband leaves his plate and glass on the dinner table, walks away. Wife gets irritated. Do you think I'm your slave in this house?
Yeah.
But the problem is not that he disrespects you. The problem is that there is no communication. You never told him. You never agreed that, you know, in every couple, every marriage, there has to be a level of agreement between them. That, look, I'll do this, you do that. Because men, let's face it, not everyone realizes what their role is in life.
Yeah.
They just need to be told, can you please put your plate away?
Yeah.
So the source of that problem is not the disrespect that the woman feels. The source of the problem is initial
communication.
That could have. So we go for these secondary problems. Yeah. You treat me like a slave. But it's not that he's treating you like a slave. It's just that you never initially had a proper communication.
You have had a communication gap with him.
Yeah. So if we just solve the communication problem, a lot of these secondary issues will start getting solved. So this is just an example.
Yeah.
Of where the problem lies in one place, but we tackle the secondary issues.
Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. We'll be back in a short while.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Fatima, you know, whether there's this holy month of Ramadan, whether there's the night of Qadr, or whether there's the, any birth anniversary of any imams, we see people rushing towards the shrines, feel like I may get some solution to my problem over there.
For sure, yeah. I think most of the people are suffering in different problems, different levels of problems, so they feel that if I do this connecting tawassul, connecting to this ma'soom,
okay,
then they will help me, or family of the ma'soom. As we have Hazrat Ma'soomah here, sister of the infallible, so they think that, or they're taught from the childhood that this will help. Obviously they're closer to Allah than we are, so asking from them will help solve the problems.
Has this helped you ever?
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
Okay.
But so I think also going back to what Sister Sadiqa was saying was that also it depends on the childhood upbringing.
Okay.
Especially with a lot of these brothers, if their mom was doing everything and they saw that, she's their first role model, then they're going to be used to that their whole life.
Well, yes, she also mentioned a good point, you know, like maybe a woman who's expecting her partner to do things, take away the plate or all, and you said there's a lack of communication. Maybe that boy has seen, the man has seen as a child everything
his
being
mom,
done
yeah.
by his mom.
Their moms do
so
everything.
So he's expecting his wife to be doing everything, yeah. Well, Sadiqa said that there's a communication gap that really makes this problem much more bigger. And if you communicate with your partner and tell him, like, I want you to do this, divide the roles, and then you may realize that you are not being respected all the time.
Can I just put a point in there?
Yes.
It's something that you mentioned, that dividing the roles. In the traditions, we do have Imam Ali and Bibi Fatima, Hazrat Fatima got married. They divided the roles between themselves from the first day. Hazrat Fatima said, I will do this. You handle the outside the house work. And the roles were divided from the first day, and they knew what the responsibilities are. Unfortunately, the first days of our marriage are spent in, honeymooning and not developing the communication that we should do.
Exactly.
And with this comes a lot of problems. Not saying honeymooning is bad, but, just have that level of communication. And when these roles were divided between Imam Ali and Bibi Fatima, yes.
Yeah.
When Imam Ali used to come home, we do know that he would help in the household work as well.
Yeah.
Because the Prophet had a tradition, the man who helps his wife in the house is actually one who has been given this blessing by Allah because they're righteous people. I'm going to use an Arabic word, tawfiq. This chance, this opportunity given to them by Allah is because they're righteous people.
Okay.
So again, it comes down to being, just not only communication, but taking yourself as a family, considering yourself as a family who's working towards Allah.
Yeah.
From my own life experience, either in the West or here, everywhere, I just feel like majority are, as far as I've seen, they're operating on their cultural background and the way they were raised versus what the deen says. Like, as she mentioned, such a beautiful hadith and the life of Imam Ali and Hazrat Zahra salam alayha. Our Shia people, even Sunnis, learn a little bit about it. Shias learn more about these holy infallibles' lives. It's theoretical more. And I mean, I don't mean to be too negative, but like as far as I've experienced, it's theoretical what they read in the book.
Yeah.
When they go to their amal, to their action in life, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about their culture and how they were raised, the upbringing,
so
definitely.
So if an upbringing is based on a spiritual, religious lifestyle, then the child from a very young age understands that, look, my role model is the Ahlul Bayt.
Definitely.
If I read a hadith, like, if you look at very young children,
mm-hmm.
if you teach them something and you ask them to act upon it, they're very, very curious, they're very excited to act upon it. I'll give you a very quick example.
For sure.
I have a very young son, right? We went to a lecture and he learned before you sleep at night, you should recite Surah Ikhlas. And since then, he's always excited. But then it comes up to the parents to encourage this habit.
Yes.
What we do is, it's time to go to sleep. You shut your eyes and go to sleep.
Yeah.
We do not encourage them.
Definitely.
Because we tell them my role, my opinion, and what I want precedes everything else, even the Ahlul Bayt. Now, you bring a child with that mentality.
Yeah.
Culture precedes everything. Obviously, what do you expect when they're 30? You're not going to expect anything other than that.
Yeah.
You're not going to expect anything other than culture.
It doesn't matter if they studied at the house either. Yeah.
It would be very foolish to expect anything other than culture if you've brought them up on a cultural upbringing.
Mm. Yeah. Well, both of you said so far that if we are facing with problems, we often try to rely or submit to Allah and do tawakkul, reliance on Allah. Who do you think is more successful, the one who asks help of Allah and the infallibles, or the one who tries to solve it, like with some techniques or logically?
In both cases, whether we like it or not, Allah is going to be there.
Yes.
A person, no one is going to be successful because every breath we take is dependent on Allah.
Yeah.
In the Quran, what does Allah say? Antum fuqara'u ila Allah. You are completely dependent on Allah.
Definitely.
So even if you go and try and solve a problem with yourself and you might think, I have achieved it, just know behind you there was someone there.
Yes.
Now, one who takes du'as and supplications and tawassul and asking the Ahlul Bayt for this help to, you know, intercede for them in front of Allah, there's a higher level of hope in getting this problem solved. Do not cut off your hope in Allah. It is one of the greatest sins. One of the greatest sins that we have recorded in the books of the traditions and the Quran is cutting off hope. Now, one who supplicates to Allah, they're building this level of hope in themselves that this problem would get solved.
Yeah.
And that hope is very necessary to live a life of peace. So both sides, you can have an end. You can have a result from both sides, whether you ask Allah or not. But one side will have a level of peace, the other side might lack that level of peace. But both sides, at the end of the day, you have to know that Allah is going to be the one behind the result that you get.
Fatima, at least 10 times in a day we say in our daily prayers Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. I only worship you and I am completely dependent, rely on you. Don't you think sometimes we really lie to ourselves or we are lying to our God, because we are saying the same thing so many times a day whenever we are reciting the Holy Surah, Surah Al-Hamd, in the daily prayers? Don't you think sometimes we just go on with studying the Arabic and we are actually lying to Allah? Because when we have expectations from people, like people are going to come and help me, we are kind of lying in the prayers.
We're not as much relying on Allah as we should. But I agree with her. I think also that it's even no matter how much we do the asking from the infallibles and holy people, still it's Allah behind it and he can do whatever he wants. And even somebody who had no belief, who was zero their whole life, no religion, in one minute Allah could guide them to the right way and they can change it. That's the mercy of Allah, you know.
Well, girls, you know, whatever we do in this life, whether we say like, I'll get this thing at this point of time and then everything will be okay. When we achieve that thing, then we have more demands coming in. I realized the Hadith Qudsi that in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam that, O Musa, tell these people that you won't find comfort in this world because I have kept that only for the havens. There's no comfort in this world. Even in the time you're happy, Allah is saying, فَصَبِّ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. You know, go and do the tasbih, recite the du'as, verses, or recite some supplications. Thank your Allah, the Rabb, the Lord who has given you so much. Well, so the best thing, I think, we reached this point, we reached this reality that relying on Allah may give us some kind of comfort, because it's also in Surah Ra'd that reciting His name, remembering Him, is something that will comfort your heart. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي let the ummah rise again let us see daylight again once again